Is opening hymn number 43, Great Is Thy Faithfulness.
Good morning. Welcome, everyone. So good to see all of you here this morning. A few announcements as we begin. If you have your bulletins there, just note to the back. Just a reminder that following today's service, of course, we are having our called CBM meeting. That has been posted on the bulletin and announced well before, so hopefully you're informed about that. It will be taking place directly following the morning worship service here. We'll kind of navigate over into the fellowship hall, slowly kind of get seated there, and then we will begin the meeting. So I hope that you're able to stay. Those who are members, active members, will be able to vote. will be paper ballot, so we have all that together and look forward to the meeting there. Also, just a reminder about our Bible study. We're continuing on with that. We've had great attendance, and maybe you've been thinking about coming. You hadn't been able to get to the first two sessions. That's okay. You can continue to come. I've ordered even some more books so that others can have books and make sure that they have those. But we certainly welcome you to be a part of that. Also, starting next Sunday, 9:30 to 10:15, I will be having membership classes and baptism classes here at the church. If you have been thinking about maybe the baptism, or maybe your son or daughter is old enough to do that and they kind of understand what baptism means, certainly just see me after service. Be glad to talk more with you about that and make sure that they can participate in the baptism membership classes. Also, on the 30th, October 30th, we will be, of course, recognizing, having the baptisms, and then recognizing those new memberships here. So those that are transferring or being received as members. Hope that you come and participate that Sunday for sure, and just welcome in the new members here to Moscow. Also, if you notice down at the bottom, we're doing our month of mission again, and maybe you remember what that is, but we spend a whole month of October, and trying to think of ways we can help others, a month of missions. One of the ways we've did that in the past is we've collected canned goods, dry goods for Valley Mission in Stanton, and they always appreciate us bringing that those things up there and helping the residents out or helping those that are needing the mission at that time. Also, we're going to hopefully be sharing a meal, a warm meal with the residents there towards the end of October, maybe first of November. The deacons will be working with the youth and trying to get that there and served. And it's just it's an amazing opportunity, really. I hope that maybe you can speak to one of the deacons or someone that has been there and participated in that. It's an amazing opportunity to help those in need. Families come in at different times for different reasons. Oftentimes, they need help immediately. I remember one year we were there, and they told us the night before a family of five or six people came in, a mother and some children, and they had nothing but the clothes on their back, and they arrived early in the morning. They didn't have toothbrush. They didn't have really anything. And so the mission is able to reach out to a family in a moment like that to give them help. And so praise the Lord for that. We also will receive monetary donations as well. You just need to make sure on your check that you put on there that it memo that it goes to Valley Missions. That way they can separate that and we can make sure that we help them out in that way as well. So next Sunday, we usually bring the materials and just set them right up front here. And then towards the end of the month, we'll have a prayer and dedicate those items that lots of people will be helped and pray for those people that are in need there at Valley Mission. If you have more questions, you can talk to myself or Janet Good following. I think there's usually a list. I'm not sure if we have that up yet. We're going to put a list up on the bulletin there in the narthex that will give you some idea or an idea of things that these residents need. Of course, you probably have an idea anyways of some of just the normal things that they like. Socks is a big thing. They always need socks. Toothbrush. Janet will get that list up there and give you some ideas of how you can pick up some of these items when you're shopping to donate them. Okay, are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anything else? Let's just bow our head for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again for the opportunity together as your church family here at Moscow. And Lord, we seek you. We seek to honor you and praise you. We seek to listen to your Spirit for guidance and direction. Lord, even as we think about the business meeting, the congregational meeting here after church, Lord, again, we'll be seeking your Spirit of direction for Moscow. Lord, we want to be faithful to your word, and Lord, we want to serve you with our whole hearts. Help us to do that, I pray. Lord, we just come this morning seeking to do that and to praise you forevermore. Lord, we just give you all praise and glory here this morning. Bless us, I pray, in this time of worship and praise here together. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Will you stand with me for this morning's call to worship? This coming from portions of Psalms 31. And the psalm says, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. For you are my rock and my fortress. Lead me and guide me, for you are my strength. And to your hand I commit my spirit. In you, O Lord, I put my trust." Let's turn in our hymnals to page 47. "God Will Take Care of You," page 47. This hymn is perfect for today's service. As we go through our scripture, our sermon today, this hymn, I pray it just continues to speak to you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. We believe that, don't we? We know that. We've experienced and have received his provision daily. God cares for us, doesn't he? And that's what we're going to hear today through scripture as we look again to King David In that time of need, he ran to God, and God cared for him. And as God cared for David, listen, God cares for you. He's looking over you and making sure that you are cared for each and every day. Praise the Lord for that, for the care in which we receive from our Heavenly Father. Let's just bow our heads real quick for prayer. Lord, just thank you so much for a hymn like this that, Lord, again reminds us that, Lord, you care for us. Lord, you provide for us. Lord, whatever test we're up against, whatever hardship we may be facing, whatever worry we might have in our heart, Lord, we know that you care for us. And as we turn to you, Lord, we know that you are looking upon us with care and compassion. And Lord, your love is always upon us. And Father, we thank you for that. We praise you here this morning. We praise you as the God who cares for each one of us. And Lord, we just thank you for that. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, I want to take just a couple minutes to gather up our prayers and our praises, our prayer requests. A couple I would like you to continue to be praying for. If you would, put on your prayer list Leon Linker. Leon shared with me that he had surgery on his hand, and he said his hand was in a splint. It was something, I think, that was scheduled. He had an issue with one of his hands, and so he had surgery on that. Said that it was in a splint and that it was going to be that way for about 6 weeks. So if you would, lift up Leon Linker in your prayers as he is healing from that. Of course, he can't drive because of his hand being bandaged up. And so he needs our prayers, and just maybe even send him a card. I think that'd be a great thing. What a pick-me-up that would be for Leon. If you don't have a directory, I think there's some available there in the narthex, but just let Leon know that you're thinking of him and praying for him and for the recovery of his hand. Also, if you would, put the Betty Daggy family in your prayers. It was shared with me this morning that Betty Daggy had passed away, and that the family was asking for prayers for the Daggy family, if you would. Also, Gail shared with me a little bit a while ago that her father, Steve Orball, is in need of prayer. And if you would lift up Gail's dad in prayer, he has some aneurysms that are very serious. And we're just praying that God's hand will be upon him and just protect him from these places, these aneurysms that he is dealing with. Four different aneurysms, in fact, she told me. So very serious. And if you would just lift Gail's dad up in prayer, as well as her mom too, and just be with them and just pray healing upon Steve in the coming days and weeks. Also, I want you to continue to lift up Joyce Clatterball. Joyce, as I shared last week, has been moved. She is in Waynesboro at a nursing facility there. I was able to see Joyce, and she looks a lot better. She looks like she's doing better. She's still having therapy and recovering from a very serious stroke. She certainly has a lot yet to go, but we just are praying that she'll reach those milestones quickly and be able to get home with Vaden. If you would, continue to lift Vaden up in prayer too. Vaden's traveling back and forth there and is completely exhausted at the end of the day. And so if you would, just be in prayer for him also as he cares for his wife. Faye got a word from her this week. She's doing really well. Faye Hall, she's continued to recover from her surgery with her eye, and she seems to be getting some vision back each day, so praise the Lord for that. But she asks as well for your continued prayer, and just thanks you so much for being in prayer for her through this very serious situation that she's went through. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Yeah, of course. Absolutely. It's absolutely a joy. And just enjoy her being here, and especially the music that she brings to us. We just can't thank her enough for that. So, Nancy, thanks for being here. Also, what? Oh, yeah, Vance. If you would lift up Vance Knott. Vance was in the hospital last week, but he is home now, and so we just praise the Lord for that, and he's doing well. And so if you would continue to pray for my grandfather Vance, as well as my grandmother Pauline, as they both need your prayers. Also, I got a celebration that yesterday Isaac went to a band competition, and Fort Defiance took away first place. So praise the Lord for that. They did a wonderful job. In fact, Isaac was on percussion, drum line, and they received special honors, first place, for having drum line. So he's really enjoying that. Of course, he didn't get home till about 11 o'clock last night. They were gone all day, and he was completely exhausted. But we were glad to hear that they'd come away with a first place win. Can you imagine riding home on a bus, a school bus full of kids that had just won first place? That poor teacher, I'm sure, was trying to do her best to restrain them, but they were certainly excited, and of course they'd worked hard and come away with that top honor. So we praise the Lord for that, and for all the success that Isaac is having in band. We just, what a praise for me and Deborah and our family. So, other praises or prayer requests that you'd like to share? Caroline? Okay. Okay. That's good. What, Caroline, what's her name?
Emma.
Say it again. Emma. Okay. All right, absolutely. We'll be praying for Emma, and praise the Lord, she's back at school. And Caroline, thank you so much for your prayer. Appreciate that for your friend, Emma. Other prayer requests or praises? Certainly we're going to be in prayer for our meeting. And again, just praying for God's guidance and direction for Moscow. With that, let's have our ushers come forward to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together. Let's share together in doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for our daily provision. Lord, as we seek You, Lord, You provide for us. Lord, we find that provision day by day, even as the Israelites sought manna day by day as they wandered the wilderness. Lord, we seek Your help. We seek Your provision day by day. And Lord, You want us to come to You afresh and new each day, seeking Your blessing. And Lord, we thank You that as often as we seek You, as much as we do that day by day, that, Lord, You continue to meet our every need. We go not without, Lord, but we go in abundance because, Lord, You meet those needs within our life. And for that, Father, we thank You this morning, and we praise You, and we glorify You, and we thank You for the provision of Your Son, Jesus, and the salvation that He's offered and brought to each person that calls forth on the name of Your Son, Jesus, for salvation. Lord, You've given us more and above what we could ever ask for. And Lord, it is because You are so perfect and so good. Lord, we pray and lift up for You this morning those names mentioned, those that need Your help, those that are recovering from sickness, those that are fighting cancer, Lord, those that are dealing with hidden, unseen things, struggles in their life. Lord, we pray that in their moment of need, they might run to You. Lord, that they might seek that help that comes from You and You alone. And Lord, we lift them up to You that You might provide that help for them. And Lord, that they might seek You in their time of need. Lord, we pray for our offertory this morning. Lord, just pray that You continue to bless Moscow. Lord, we're at a pivotal moment here and we need Your direction. And we need Your hand to guide us. Lord, we don't want to move in our own direction or even in our own understanding. But Lord, we want to trust in You. And Lord, let Your Spirit guide us that we might be in accordance with Thy will always. So Lord, bless us, I pray, the remainder of this worship service together. Lord, might we just glorify You in all that we do and say here. Most of all, Lord, that Your Son will be lifted up. And Lord, that His name, above any other name, would we glorify and rejoice in. Lord, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus, and we praise Him here this morning. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things together. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed now. And in your Bible, if you're still with me, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 21. We're back looking at the story of David. Remember, we've been following along with David. We started with Samuel here in 1 Samuel, the prophet, and then the calling, of course, of Saul as king. And we've seen that that resulted in a huge failure. Saul wasn't the right guy for the job. He could have been the right guy for the job. God wanted him to be the right guy for the job, but he failed, didn't he? And he turned to his own wickedness, his own wicked ways, his own sinful self, rather than seeking the things of God. And, of course, he was rejected as king. He was rejected. That place that God had called him to, he found himself rejected from being king of Israel. The only problem was the king didn't leave. He decided that even though he had been rejected by God, he continued to hold a hold of the throne of Israel. And we saw last week that David was in fact the man that God had called then to be king of Israel. But David wasn't necessarily put directly upon the throne, that there was a period of time where Saul was still king. And David was anointed, but yet not placed on the throne. And so that's kind of where we find our story today. We're picking up with David. We're in this period of time where, although he's anointed king, he's not yet been enthroned. And we see Saul, although he's been rejected as king, he hasn't yet decided to leave. And so there's some contention then between Saul and David, as you could imagine, as Saul is angry at David. In fact, he tries to kill David. And so we're picking up here in chapter 21 in this story of David as he ran to God, away from Saul, but running to God. So let's pick up here at verse 1, chapter 21, 1 Samuel. It says, "Now David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid when he met David, and said to him, 'Why are you alone, and no one is with you?' So David said to Ahimelech the priest, 'The king has ordered me on some business, and said to me, "Do not let anyone know anything about the business on which I send you, or what I have commanded you, and I have directed my young men to such and such a place."'" Now note there, David is lying, isn't he? David has not been commanded by the king to such and such a place, but David is on the run for his life, because at this point King Saul has thrown a spear at David's head, and he's commanded that David was to be killed. And so this story is a stretch of the truth. You know, even the heroes of the Bible make mistakes, don't they? The Bible doesn't pull any punches. It doesn't play partisan. It shows you who a person is, even if they're King David. And we see here that David had a moment of weakness, and he lied. Now let's read on. "Now therefore," he says, David, "what have you on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or whatever can be found." And the priest answered David and said, "There is no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread, if the young men have at least kept themselves from women." Then David answered the priest and said to him, "Truly, women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in effect common, even though it was consecrated in the vessels this day." So notice, there's this holy bread that David is asking for, and that's all that they have on hand there at the temple. "So the priest gave him holy bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread, which had been taken from before the Lord, in order to put hot bread in its place on the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man," verse 7, "of the servants of Saul was there that day detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chief of the herdmen who belonged to Saul. And David said to Ahimelech, 'Is there not here on hand a spear or a sword?'" That's a funny place to look for a weapon, isn't it? At the temple, at the church. "And for I have brought," he says, "neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." There's a second lie, isn't it? So the priest said, verse 9, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistines, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is there, and it's wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it, for there is no other except that one here." And David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. You know, the Bible tells us that God is our helper, doesn't it? In fact, that comes from David himself. David wrote in Psalms 54, 4, "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life." Maybe David learned that lesson right here, that God is his helper, that God is the person that he looks to help him in that moment. You know, this kind of very scary moment here when David is being chased by Saul and potentially fearing for his life. And so here in the psalmist, David writes in Psalms 54, "Behold, God is my helper." I want you to say that. Say with me, God is my helper. God is my helper. That's who he is. God is our helper. And that's what David learned, even through this. He found and again learned that God is his helper. He can be trusted in. King David would go on to say that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, we see him here a whole lot afraid, don't we? As he's running away from Saul, running for his life. Whom shall I be afraid? Whom shall I fear? Well, we see certainly that David is in fear here. You know, David didn't naturally just have a strong faith. That was something that had to be learned, didn't it? Faith has to be cultivated within us. It's something that is grown within us. You know, this evening we're going to look at the book of Mark, talking about the parable of the sower. And the sower scatters the seeds, and the seeds are like seeds of faith. And the Bible tells us that some seeds fall among the thorns, don't they? And the weeds, and they get choked out. And some thorns fall on rocky soil, and the birds of the air come and eat them up. This idea that for a seed of faith to take root, to grow, to be strong within us, it has to be nourished, doesn't it? It has to be learned. It has to be looked after and cared for and grown. David wasn't just naturally a man of strong faith, and he was a man of great faith. We read through the Bible of what great faith David had, but this was not something that was always natural, but it was something that he learned. Listen, if you want to increase your faith, you have to work at it. You have to put time in and turn to God in those moments of struggles. Read your Bible. Learn Scripture. These are the things that do to cultivate our faith and grow our faith in God. And here is a growing moment for David as he seeks God in this time of fear in his life. And later on, notice, he writes, "Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is my salvation. He is my light. He's the stronghold of my life." So we see David on the run, but I want you to notice here, the one thing that David does right from the very beginning, that is when he was on the run from all his problems. You ever been on the run from your problems? Feel like you just want to escape and get away from all the craziness and problems that are happening in your life? Where does David run to? Does David run to, his own understanding or his own knowledge, or does he turn to his own abilities or wisdom? He runs to the Lord, doesn't he? He runs to the temple. He runs to God. And I would encourage you today to do the same as David, that if you are finding yourself in a time of trouble and you're in a place that you're in fear or that the world's problems are just building up on you, where do you run to? I guess that's the question. Where do you run? Do you take your problems to God, or are you trying to deal with these problems on your own or in some other way? David turned to the Lord with his problems. He sought the Lord's help. "The Lord is my helper," is what David said. And that's where he went. He went and sought help from the Lord. What happens when we refuse to take our problems to the Lord? What do you think happens when we refuse to do that? It's kind of like binding the hands of God, really. God's hands are bound. He wants to help us. He wants to get us out of that jam. He wants to lift us up. He wants to do all these wonderful things. But when we refuse to go to God with our problems, it's like binding the hands of God, isn't it? He's kind of unable to do what he wants to do because we refuse to seek his help. But on the other side of that, when we do seek his help, we loosen the hands of God in our life, don't we? We allow God to work. We allow God to help us, and God wants to help us. He wants to be our helper, but He can only be our helper if we seek Him for help. And so often, friends, it's true in your life, it's true in mine, that we refuse to seek the help of the Lord. I don't know why. We'll just say, God, I got this. I can do this. I don't need to call out on you. We'll get in a, maybe it's just a kind of a refusal that we're so in the process of trying to do all this ourselves. I'm trying to work out this issue and that problem, and I'm putting out that fire and this fire, and I don't take the time to look up and say, Lord, help me. I need your help. I need you to help me through this. Boy, it probably would change a lot of situations in my life and yours if we would stop first in the midst of all our problems of life and seek God first. You know, when we often seek God, is at last resort, isn't it? Kind of the last step. Well, everything else has failed. I've tried. I've tried to do all this on my own. Tried to solve these problems. I've tried to use whatever skills I have to make this happen. And so, well, I better just turn to God. Well, probably should have started there. And then maybe you wouldn't find yourself at the end of your rope and seeking God last. We seek God first because we loose the hands of God to help us to have His will done in our life and His work done in our life. And that's what David did. He sought the hand of God. And listen, David found help, didn't he? He found help. That's the thing I want you to see this morning, is that when David sought God, he found help. Now, how did he find help? Well, first of all, notice there in verse 3 that God provides for David his daily bread, doesn't he? We say that prayer that Jesus taught us, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth as it is in heaven." Then we say, give us this day, what? Our daily bread. That's that daily provision, aren't we? That we seek, that daily prayer, that daily provision which comes from God, that daily sustenance which we need to survive. To survive, we need, of course, basic things to live. We need shelter, we need food, we need clothing, we need protection. David found all these things when he sought God. God provided for David his daily bread. Now therefore, it says, verse 3, what have you on hand? Give me of 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or whatever can be found. David's starving, isn't he? He's hungry, and he needs his daily provision, and God meets that need, doesn't he? God meets our need, doesn't he? As we seek God's help, he meets our needs. More than one occasion, I've been blown away and find myself in a time, not necessarily like David, where I'm running for my life. Yeah, I've made some people angry in my life, but I've never made them that mad, where they're chasing me, trying to put me to death. But I have found myself in times of great need. I remember when me and Deborah first got married. You don't have a lot when you first get married, and you struggle a little bit. And me and Deborah had found ourselves in a place where we were struggling. And I remember we'd kind of got down to our last few dollars that month or week. And I thought, Lord, what are we going to do? Because coming through the mail was a bill for $50. And we didn't have $50 to meet the bill. And I thought, Lord, we need your help. Need you to help us in this time. We cannot meet the needs in our life. And so it just happened to be, maybe you heard this story, if it's okay if you hear it twice. It just happened to be that we checked the mail that day and opened the mail, and there was a card that said to Pastor Darren. Opened it up, and inside this card was a nice little note to me, thanking me for serving the church and serving them. And guess what was inside that card? Exactly $50. That's what we were in need of. And God provided. I tell you, that brought me and Deborah to our knees. We just thank God. But here we were in need. We were in need for $50, and God provided $50. And we were sure to give God the glory. I think it was $50 amount just because that was the exact amount we needed for the bill. And it just proved again to us that God provides for us daily when we seek Him. That was the thing. We were seeking God's help, and God provided. And it was a glorious thing, and we continue to praise God for all the provision that He gives us each and every day. David sought the Lord, and God provided. Friends, that's exactly what He does for you. You need to seek God and seek Him first, and He will provide for you as well. Okay, number one, God gave David his daily bread. Look there, number two, that God cared for David personally in verse 4. And the priest answered David and said, "There's no common bread on hand, but the holy bread, if the young men have at least kept themselves from women." Notice here that God didn't just meet his daily bread need here, but God cared for David personally. This was a personal giving of that which was God to David. Now, I know we probably don't understand a whole lot about what that means, this bread on hand, this show bread. That's very different than when you come to church today. You don't smell fresh bread when you come in, do you? Boy, I wish I would, though. Maybe somebody should take that up. Fresh bread smells good, doesn't it? And so in the temple, it was commanded that there were to be 12 loaves of bread that were to be placed before the Lord. They were to be in the temple in the presence of God. And you even see there in the scripture, it's they use the title, the presence of God. That's what this bread was literally called. It was the show bread. And this bread was changed weekly. Every 7 days, the priests would, by the ingredients that were listed in Leviticus, you can find all this in Leviticus, it's the law, you can find the ingredients that they were to use to make the show bread in accordance to God's law, and they were to bring the show bread in, they would take the old show bread out. The priest could eat of the old show bread. After it had been before God 7 days, then that old bread was removed and new bread was put in its place, and the old bread then could be consumed by only the priest. That's what it says in Leviticus, that the priest Aaron and his family could eat of the show bread in a holy place at that. You just couldn't eat it anywhere. They were to eat the bread in a holy place. So what was happening here was literally that bread that was God's, when it was placed before God, think of that, that was God's bread at that point, wasn't it? It was God's bread. God was taking of what was His, and He was suffering to Himself to give then unto David. Isn't that a beautiful illustration? Boy, it makes me think of another bread. What did Jesus say He was? "I am the bread of life." And didn't God suffer taking that which was His and giving it to us so that we might have life? Think of that. Isn't that a beautiful illustration right there? God gives to us personally. Right there you can see the beauty of Christ, this bread of life. Jesus would say in John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." You know, if you know your Bible well, you'll remember that this story was actually talked about by Jesus. Remember when the disciples were walking through the fields of wheat? And the wheat, of course, has a head on it. And these disciples were just taking their hands and they were plucking off the heads of that wheat. And they were putting it in their mouth and chewing it. It kind of makes like a gum. You could chew on it for hours and hours. It was just something that just kind of satisfied. And the Pharisees seeing the disciples, and they were doing this on the Sabbath. They were plucking these heads off as they were walking. And the Pharisees, their old self-righteous, said, "Don't you see what your disciples are doing? They're working on the Sabbath. They're working on the Sabbath. They're plucking those heads off and they're reaping on a day when there's no work supposed to be done." Boy, I tell you, get you an idea of who these Pharisees were, right? And they made an accusation. And Jesus referred to this actual story of David and the showbread. And he said, well, didn't the servant David, when he was in a time of need, when he was hungry, didn't God even give to him the bread that was before the presence of God? Didn't they take which was holy and give to David in that time of need? The disciples were hungry. They wanted to chew this wheat. And he was making a place for it, that it was acceptable and that God accepted this. That God suffered himself. That bread, which you might say was in the mouth of God, was taken and given to David in his time of need. You know, Jesus would go on right after that story, talk about a person whose sheep fell in the ditch. And he told the Pharisees, well, which one of you wouldn't go and get your sheep out of the ditch that has fallen in it on the Sabbath? And then Jesus goes on to say, how much more value then is a man than a sheep? God valued David, didn't he? He valued David. And God was willing to suffer that which was his so that David could be filled. Boy, there's the gospel, isn't it? There's the gospel. You know, there's other times in Scripture where if men would do something unholy that God disagreed with, he would strike them dead. Boom! Dead! Ananias and Sapphira, they held back their money. They lied about what they were doing. And what did God do? Boom! Dead! Struck them dead, both of them, immediately. The priests of Aaron, it says, they took a strange fire and offered incense to the Lord, not from the fire that was from the altar, but strange fire. Two sons, boom, dead. God killed them both. Over and over again, you see God. Remember Uriah? Remember the Ark of the Covenant was being brought back into Jerusalem? And remember the cart stumbled, the oxen stumbled, the cart shifted, and the Ark of the Covenant was going to fall off. And Uriah reached out his hand and he touched something that he could not touch, which was the Ark of the Covenant. What happened to Uriah? Boom, dead. Here's God taking something holy, holy bread that's consecrated, his, that's only set aside for the priests, and yet God doesn't strike David dead, nor does he strike the priest dead. But we see that God suffers of himself to prove his love to David. What a powerful statement that's made through the giving of this showbread. God provides for David his daily bread, but he personally supplies it, doesn't he? He personally gives of what is his to David. Number three, God put a sword in David's hand. Verse 8, and David said to Ahimelech, is there not here on hand a spear or a sword? What a strange thing to ask. I don't usually have people come in through the week to say, Darren, do you have a weapon here that I can borrow? I need one. You know, I thought the right place to go would be the church. That's kind of strange, isn't it? And yet we see the very thing that David needed, God delivered. David needed protection, didn't he? He needed a sword. He needed something to protect himself while he's on the run. He's fearing for his life so much, friends, he didn't even have time to grab his sword or his bow. You think a soldier like David would have those things always on hand. But here David is fleeing for his life. He doesn't have any time to grab any of those things. He doesn't even have a sword to protect himself. And God provides a sword and not any sword. He provides the sword that Goliath had. And David even mentions that, boy, there's no sword like this one. This is the sword of the Philistines. Goliath, remember old 11-foot Goliath that David built? You know, I think what's significant about that sword being there is not necessarily that there was a sword. That is significant. But it's a specific sword, isn't it? It takes David back to a time when he wasn't in fear. Remember, David took Goliath on, 11-foot Goliath, and he wasn't afraid, was he? We didn't see a man that was acting in fear. We saw a man that had great courage He was willing to take the... And remember, he had great courage because his courage wasn't in self. His courage was in God. Remember what I said last week? You come at me, David says to Goliath, you come at me with sword and shield and spear, and I come at you in the strength of the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts. His courage was in God. And David had lost that. David's anointed king of Israel. Does he need to run for his life? If God's anointed him for a job, does he have to run for his life? God has said he's going to be king. He doesn't need to run. God would intervene at some point. But yet we see David on the run, running for his life. And I think this sword was a great reminder for David that he is not to fear, that God has his back, that God is with him. Do you know God has provided for you spiritual weapons? Do you know that? That when you seek God, God doesn't just leave you to the enemies of the world and defenseless. Oh gosh, I'm so defenseless. No. As a Christian, remember, it talks about the spiritual weapons that we've been given. The shield of faith. We've been given the helmet of salvation. We've been given the breastplate of righteousness. This is armor, isn't it? The belt of truth. And the sword of the Spirit. These are the weapons in which we have been given when we seek the Lord. Number four, God protects David from his hidden enemies. Note there in verse 7, there was a certain man, a servant of Saul, was there that day detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg. If you remove the E from that, what do you get? Dog. And that's exactly what this fellow was. He was a dog, really. He was a mean, violent sort of person. He was a servant, a faithful servant of Saul. And he would have been a hidden enemy of David. If he would known what David was doing or what was going on, I believe Doeg would have killed Saul. I want you to notice there, just turn one chapter over, verse 22. Notice in verse 13, I want you to just see this guy Doeg, or dog. It says verse 13, then Saul said to him, that's Doeg, why have you conspired, or Ahimelech really, the priest, he says, why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, and that you have given him bread and a sword and acquired of God for him? This is him talking to the priest, that he should rise against me and lie in wait this day. And then move right down to verse 17. Then the king, that is Saul, said to the guards who stood about him, turn and kill the priests. This is what Saul's wanting. He's wanting the priests dead for helping. And they go on here and say, Lord, turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because their hand is also with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not tell it to me. But the servants of the king would not lift their hand to strike the priests of the Lord. Verse 18, and the king said to Doeg, here he is, you turn and kill the priests. So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck and killed on that day 85 men who wore the linen ephod. He killed 85 priests. That's how evil of a guy he was. He was the man that took and killed 85, not just, these are priests. These are men that God has called. And Doeg killed these men. He was an evil man, and God protected him from his hidden enemies. Listen, friends, we've got lots of hidden enemies in this world. One in particular named Satan, right? He's constantly working against us. But there's others as well. Others that Satan is working through. Remember Jesus said to Peter, ye get behind me, Satan. Not that Peter was Satan, but Satan was working through him, wasn't he? We have to be careful we don't let Satan work through us. But there are at times, friends, there are those around us that are seeking to destroy us. Those are the hidden enemies. And God protected David against the hidden enemies that were there that very day. Last thing here, number five, God sent David on his way, and they received him in Gath with a song of victory. David, look there, verse 11, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. Listen, boy, I tell you, that preaches to me. I hope it preaches to you too. When we seek the Lord, He provides for us all these things. He gives us what we need, our daily bread. He provides of Himself to make sure we're cared for. He protects us from our hidden enemies. But then after He does all that, He sends us on our way with a song, doesn't He? A song of rejoicing, a song of victory in our heart. Praise God. I tell you, that's what I have in my heart, a song of victory, of joy. Because as I seek Jesus, He fills my heart. He fills my life with a song of joy. He'll do the same for you, friends. He sends you on your way with a song of joy, a song of rejoicing. You say, Brother Darren, I got a lot of problems in my life. You don't know what I'm dealing with. And you know, you're right, I don't. I know, sometimes I know, but I don't always know. God knows what you're dealing with. And He says, you just come to Me and I will give you help. I'll provide for your daily needs. I'll make sure that you're cared for and protected. And I'll send you on your way with a song of rejoicing in your heart. That's what you get when you come to Jesus with your problems. Go ahead and take them to the other things of the world. See if it puts a song within your heart. God does, and He will. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this story that You've given us. One that even Jesus Himself referred to in Matthew and Luke. Lord, it's a lesson for each one of us that God, You truly are our helper. Lord, there are those that are sitting here today and they have a heavy burden on their life. Lord, they're dealing with real issues and real problems. There are those that may be listening on the internet that, Lord, they're dealing with real issues and real problems. Lord, I pray again that we're reminded that in our troubles, that, Lord, we are to seek You first. And that, Lord, You want to help us. And, Lord, You want Your hands loose to help us, to give us and provide for us those things that we need. Lord, help us to seek You first with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our spirit. And Lord, might we again see that provision, that daily help that we need in our life. Maybe, Father, we've been taking our problems to all the wrong sorts of things and seeking help in all the wrong places. Lord, I pray that even this morning we're redirected to come back to You, to find our help that is only found in the Lord. Lord, we praise You here this morning. Let us run to You, even as David did. We praise You now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let's gather now in our closing hymn, page 513. Oh, how He loves you and me. So let us stand together and sing now, page 513. you, doesn't he? That's why he cares so much about you. That's why he wants to be your helper. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he was willing to send his son Jesus to die in your place. Had you received that Savior, that Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, I pray you have. Don't let that bread pass you by. He suffered himself and gave of his own son that you might have life, that bread of life. Listen, unless you take and eat like David, you starve, you perish. You need that bread of life in your life. Take and eat is what we say at communion. Take and eat. And that's what God wants for you to do. He cares for you. He loves you. He wants you to eat of his son Jesus. And there he said, you will never hunger and you will never thirst. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, if anyone here, Lord, hasn't received your son, I pray they pray with me now, even as I pray. Lord, I repent of my sin. Lord, I know I am a sinner. And Lord, I turn from my sin and I seek your son Jesus and the forgiveness of sin which comes through his death and resurrection. Lord, I receive your Holy Spirit to live within me. And Lord, I desire now to seek to live my life, not after myself like I once lived, but Lord, to seek to please and serve you and all that I am and all that I do. Lord, help me do that, I pray. And each person, Lord, that's prayed that prayer here this morning, Lord, they can be assured that they have been welcomed into the family of God. Father, we praise you. Bless us as we go forth now. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.